Here we go. It's a special edition of the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics, our proud partners, Physical Athletics. They are doing some cutting edge stuff. The director of strength and conditioning, Coach Armando Aguilar and his staff, they are doing some amazing things, applying science to your game. For those of you in the Borderland region here in El Paso, you can find them at 2270 Joe Battle Boulevard, as well as you can find them on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic, that's FYZICAL Athletic, as well as on their website at physicalathletics.com. So we're back. We're back with episode 2 of Inside Texas High School Soccer, the state playoffs edition. Another crazy week, super crazy week in the UIL Texas High School Soccer state playoffs. And I'm proud to be joined once again by my good friend and he's the co-host of the group that we collaborate with quite a bit, San Antonio Soccer Roundtable, Coach Rafa C, Mr. at Papa Socceritis. Coach, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Coach?
I am doing great. So you're like fresh off the sideline here. You're watching games, filming games, interviewing coaches. Let's talk a little bit about the game you just came from.
Yeah, so I went to go see the 6A for Region 4 regional quarterfinal between Laredo Alexander and Del Rio, and this is the third matchup for the year for the team since they're in the same district. And Del Rio had I think they won both previous games, but somehow Alexander really, I don't know, they ate their Wheaties tonight, Wheaties this morning, and they end up putting 4 on Del Rio, and good showing for the Alexander Bulldogs. Actually, one of my former club players, Jose Shaggy Correa, scored the second goal against Del Rio, and like I said, they never let up, and they just really kind of took it to them. They were more of the aggressor. Del Rio just never adjusted, or I'm surprised the coaches didn't make any adjustments to kind of, change the game and so forth to try to get back in it, because, a 2-0 lead at the half is never safe. Right. So, but Alexander was able to get that third one on an own goal, and then they just controlled the game afterwards. So, but now Alexander has the pleasure and the honor to play probably our top team in the region, which is the Lee Volunteers, and that game's gonna be. I was there at the coin toss, or pretty interesting to see the coin toss. It took about a good 30 minutes. It's gonna be Lee versus Alexander at Cabanas Field in Corpus Christi at 6 p.m. So if anybody down there, that's gonna be a really good game down there.
Yeah. All right. That's awesome. That's good. So the you were actually there to witness the full coin flip and everything post match there with Coach Rogers there from Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was that? Yeah. So that took 30 minutes, huh?
Yeah, it took a while. So I guess they wanted to, kind of make an agreement. I guess they want a neutral side and then maybe home and home and stuff. I think they finally resolved some things. And so they came out to – there were some interesting locations where they wanted some of the games, but it ended up being – I think part of the rule, I think something with UIL that he had mentioned, that they have to play a game like if it's neutral site, like an even distance. So I guess that's the reason why they're playing that game in Corpus Christi, because it's an even distance.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I mean, they try to, it just obviously depends on who you're playing where, but yeah, that's I know that was in my days on the private school side, we kind of had the same thing playing a San Antonio school playing a, it was vice versa. It was mm-hmm. San Antonio school playing a school from Corpus going to Laredo for a neutral site location. So it was kind of the same thing, but in reverse. That's great. I understand you also had a chance to do an interview there with Coach Rogers post Del Rio Alexander match. And I guess, was that post coin toss or pre coin toss?
Post coin toss. I know KBB from San Antonio, the News 35, they interviewed him, so I kind of hopped along just to film him. Hopefully the video comes out. But so if you didn't see it, like on my part, it'll be on KBB 35 here in San Antonio. But they did ask him questions about, how he thought about the matchup, and he did mention that they did face each other. They faced each other, I think, in a couple of years ago in the same round. He said it's going to be an interesting game, but I think they can pull this one off and go on to the next round, you know, where the regional finals. So they're going to be the visitors, so they get to wear. I know it's going to be hot. I know that's what I've been hearing is going to be hot this coming week. So right. I think those white jerseys are going to come in handy and help out. So, you know, I think the biggest concern, I guess, playing over there in Corpus is the wind. I think if anybody ever played down there, the wind does make a big factor down there when you play. But I think they're ready to. I think they're ready to go. It's going to be, like I said, it's not going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be a good game. But I think, like I said, for me, I think Lee's going to be the favorite to win, to advance and go into the regional final.
Right. That's great in-depth analysis there. So SA Soccer Roundtable and the 50-50 podcast teaming up to bring some fresh, real fresh insider information. So thanks, Coach. Coach Rafa. We appreciate that. All right, Coach. So initially, we're going to dive right in. All right. So no special intros, no crazy songs, music, nothing. We're talking all things Texas high school soccer here today. We're the focus is on the big tournament, the grand tournament, the state playoffs. But, you know, we episode one, obviously, at that time, the only thing that had played out was the bi-district round. And that in mm-hmm. itself was pretty wild. But now, what are your initial thoughts coming off of we had the area round, which was earlier in the week, and then the regional quarterfinal round that was predominantly Friday and a couple of matches today. What are your initial thoughts on a pretty crazy area and regional quarterfinal rounds?
I mean, to play three games and, you know, and not even 10 days, it's going to be rough for some teams.
Yeah.
I think if the teams that have really good depth, that's going to help you out in these next rounds. Because there are not going to be no cakewalks. You may have an occasional surprise as far as maybe a blowout here or there, because it might not be their night. But you have to bring your A game now once you get to the regional quarterfinals and beyond, because you know you're that close to getting to the state tournament. You know, so that's what I'm looking at. Some teams I'm looking forward to see which teams are going to raise up their level of play. And really kind of stick out compared to some other teams that are, you know, your Cinderellas, you know, there's some that are still out there, you know, right. Are they going to pick up their game and so forth?
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll get into, you know, you mentioned, it's a great point. You mentioned Cinderellas. We'll get into that a little bit later, along with, I guess, for lack of better words, dark horses. So, cause there's definitely still some out there. All right, Coach. So, you know, we've talked about the how it's going to play out over the course of the next week, coming off of this week, or how it played out this last week and how it's going to like lead into next week. And, you know, again, we had talked about, we knew that if not by this weekend, that early next week in the regional semifinal round, that weather would be an issue, particularly heat, right? Heat. Mm-hmm. So some of these games will still be early. Some of them, I know you're trying to push them later in the evening if you can, but some games will be kind of late morning, early afternoon matchups. So that could be interesting. So let's talk about when you look back on it, this crazy week that we had in the area in the regional quarterfinal round. Give me what you think. Let's look at the boys' side. Maybe your top three, your top three results or shockers. And/or shockers, and then on the girls' side, your top three results or shockers.
I think the boys' side is one in your backyard, Eastlake. Eastlake knocking off Southlake Carroll and Byron Nelson. They made a statement winning those two games. Mm-hmm. You know, they're gonna say, you know, the Metroplex has dominated that region. I don't think it's going to be this year, because I think Eastlake is running, has the momentum, and you know, going into their Tuesday game to win that round game and then go on to the regional final. So that's probably one of the shockers there. a couple of other soccer teams, like, some of the teams in the Metroplex, kind of like the Marcus is falling down, and that's, you know, there. And then also a couple of Houston area teams too. So it's, like I said, those for the boys' side, like, there's one in the, I think, in the Valley. Everybody thought, I think, Veterans Memorial was going to pass through, but Valley View came back. You know, they actually were in the lead. They actually took the lead at the end with a minute left. So they passed through the, they're in the regional semifinals with a showdown with an undefeated Southwest, which I think Valley View is the last team that beat them. And that was the regional semifinal. I think it was like a 7-0.
Yeah.
So that's going to be, I wonder if that's in the minds of the Southwest players. You know, maybe trying to get some payback from that game.
And that one was so, because I think if I'm trying to remember it correctly, because Southwest is, so San Antonio Southwest is on a, what, 40, is it 45? Is that right? 45 game winning streak, something like that?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's interesting. So that last loss being to Valley View goes back, what, two years? Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's interesting. The East Lake one, I think anybody that is not from the Borderland region, from El Paso, West Texas, really, you know, they might be surprised by the El Paso East Lake results. I think, but anybody from here, I think, especially this year, you've seen that they've been building this momentum. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I think the big things with them is that it's their first year in 6A, right? So it's getting a lot of people. That in itself is kind of getting a lot of people by surprise. But they've been a big school for a while, you know, kind of. So, you know, they've kind of had the, I guess if you want to call it, I don't know, a 6A mindset, 6A mentality, 6A numbers for well over a year. And they were, you know, as a 5A last year, they were in the same district, that my school was in East Leta. So that should show you how, you know, the broad range of our districts out here. But yeah, I think the other thing too, is if you're putting stock in a name like South Lake Carroll or Byron Nelson, that has obviously the pedigree, right? That is a well-established, a well-known name, not just in soccer, but in athletics across the state. That one, then it's going to probably maybe get you by surprise. But anybody out here, you ask them, I don't think anyone is really surprised by the victories. I think how they won is what got a lot of people's attention, right? So, I mean, to put up 10 goals, I'm sorry, 10 goals in two matches versus both South Lake Carroll and Byron Nelson, that's a statement in itself. But also, you know, in that South Lake Carroll game, how that game played out, where South Lake Carroll, it was, I think, 0-0 for the first 20 minutes. South Lake Carroll took the lead, held the lead for the next 40 minutes or so. And then 60 minutes in, East Lake explodes for three goals in 3 minutes and then added a fourth, I think, about 10 minutes later. So that it's pretty amazing to see how that transpired. And then they followed it up with a 6-2 victory over Byron Nelson. So, yeah, I think it's anybody outside of here will tell you that it's not really a I don't think it's really they're not shocked. I think people are more surprised by how they won. Yeah. More than anything, especially in state playoffs, because realistically, as you know, we've discussed this, anytime really you get past beyond the bi-district round and area round and beyond, for sure, there are no bad teams. They're all quality teams. It's just a matter of, you know, some of it is the district that they're coming out of. Some of it is the draw that they've been given in the tournament. And then sometimes some teams have bad days, right? Some teams have bad days. And I think what we're finding out too is that some teams that were undefeated almost all year, or, you know, district titles undefeated all year, they're, you know, that pressure, you know, that playoff pressure. When teams come to play them, neutral site locations, and, you know, and they're being, you know, teams don't really care. This is where that whole saying of records, you know, records go out the window. You know, they're being challenged, and some teams are they're either caving under their pressure, or they're just realizing that teams, you know, teams are coming to play and they're not intimidated by their record or their district or, you know, whatever.
I know for the 5A boys, the shocker was Wichita Falls falling.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were upset by Colleyville. You know, everybody was kind of handing them the trophy already, thinking that Wichita Falls would make a cakewalk into the finals. And Colleyville had other ideas and knocked them off. And I think that sets up a showdown, I think, with they have another surprise, Amarillo Palo Duro. That's another team that's surprising team that they've got some surprising wins, you know, and nobody thought they would do something. You know, Amarillo's not a big soccer hotbed, but those boys, they're on fire, and I think Colleyville better kind of look out for them. And then on the upper bracket, you know, we have El Paso del Valle again going up against a very good Grapevine team. That's going to be a really good matchup.
Yeah. I think El Paso del Valle, they might have had the latest game in the state last night. I think it ended about 9:45 Mountain Time. I think somewhere in there, 9:50 Mountain Time, which I know the rest of the state, that's almost 11 o'clock. So they had a great victory last night, 2-1 final. And I think, you know, Palo Duro, you hit on that. I think they got a lot of people's attention when they knocked off El Paso Bel Air in the area round. So that got a lot of people's attention, and they're playing well. They're playing well.
Yeah.
They're playing well. And then getting a game winner with about 39 seconds left, versus a very, a valiant effort by another El Paso team, El Paso Bowie, that was down, I think 2-0, came back, tied it up. Then it was Palo Duro took the lead again, 3-2. And then, Bowie came back, tied it before, not giving away the game, but unfortunately falling short with off of a free kick with 30 something seconds. So pretty brutal, pretty tough. All right, coach. So what about the girls' side? You know, you look across the classifications, kind of top. I know which one mine is that really, I think, really should have gotten the majority of the state's attention, but I'll wait to see what you got. Your top three results or shockers on the girls' side across the classifications.
I think the one, maybe we probably agree to this one, is Prosper.
Yeah.
That's probably like the ESP right here. Yeah, that was a shock there. I thought they were really going to, you know, win that region, run through it.
Right.
But like I said, Flower Mound, props to those girls. You know, they weren't intimidated. Hey, it's like I mentioned to a couple, you know, to like especially like to Harry, like you know, rankings don't mean anything in the playoffs. You know, right. You know, the records even too. It's like who's gonna show up on the game, and like I said, they showed up. And now they got another, like I said, they got another tough one with Eaton High School, so that should be a good game as well. Mm-hmm. So that was a shocker there. I think for Region 4, the one shocker was the Vandergrift Reagan game.
The area around,
and I really thought Reagan, because it was basically a home game. And I thought this, okay, they're going to have an opportunity to win this. But Vandergrift's girls were just on fire, and they just took it to them. And that's shock. That surprised me. And then I kind of think it's like I'm wondering more and more now, is there a gap now when it comes to girls soccer, high school soccer, between San Antonio and Austin? And that's even, like I said, even to some of the 5A levels too, that's trickled down.
Mm-hmm.
So I
was going to ask you about that a little bit more in a minute. We'll come back to that. So when we do our Region 4, Region 1 talk, but that was, you know, for me, I think the team, you know, the team that's really gotten my attention has been an eye opener. Nobody saw them getting. I don't think very many people saw them getting one win this weekend, let alone two. So Eaton, you know, Eaton, they're out of the Northwest Northwest ISD up there in Fort Worth. They beat a very a little bit more information that I had on their matchup versus El Paso Franklin and the area around. That El Paso Franklin, very good squad, but they were definitely, you know, at this point, everybody's dealing with it, some just more than others, but they were significantly impacted by injuries. And obviously they showed up to play the best that they could, but that's a very good Eaton squad, not taking anything away from them. Excuse me. But I think that, you know, for them to push through that match pretty handedly, and then come right back and handle South Lake Carroll. They didn't, beat them pretty convincingly. And now who would have thought that we're looking at, here we are for in a regional semifinal matchup, we have Eaton versus Flower Mound. When you had Prosper there and you had South Lake Carroll there, it's kind of hard to imagine that we would have these two, but this kind of speaks to what we were just talking about, as to why you play the game, right? Why you play the game.
Yeah.
That one for sure. I think Eaton has really gotten my attention quite a bit from the 6A girls. Anyone else, Coach?
Another one is for 5A girls. They've kind of caught my attention a little bit is the Amarillo High girls. No one's talking about them. And they're slowly sinking up. And they got an interesting semifinal game with Lakeview Centennial. That's an interesting matchup right there. They're in Region 1 and for 5A girls. So I think that's going to be a good one coming up. Then you have other than Region 2, the one team that really, is sticking out, has got a couple of quality wins, has been Highland Park girls.
Yeah. You know, for a school of kind of that pedigree and their notoriety, nobody's really talking about them. You know, nobody's really talking about them. I think a lot of, that's going to be an interesting how that plays out. Region 1, Region 2 coming out of that area. When you look at, cause right now you have Amarillo, Centennial, Frisco Centennial, Wiley, or not Frisco, Centennial, Wiley, that's Abilene Wiley, Grapevine, Frisco Wakeland, Forney, Frisco Memorial, and then Highland Park out of that section between Region 1 and Region 2. So, Amarillo, yeah.
Yeah, then I think there's some other ones in Region 3. Another team is Foster from the Sugar Land area, from Richmond, Texas, the Richmond Foster Lady Falcons. They've turned some heads and they've beaten some quality teams, and no one's been talking about them, especially in the Houston area. Most of the talks were probably like for Friendswood, you know, teams like that, but Foster could, you know, like I said, they got a tough one with Magnolia, but I think they could, you know, win that game and go on to, like I said, win the region. Like I said, nobody's expected them to really make a deep run for this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I think one of the ones that I kind of wanted to look at was kind of giving some love to 4A for sure on my side too, was, out of this area, out of Region 1, San Elisario, the San Elisario girls, they've been, you know, those first two rounds, they're by district and area round. I think they put up, I think it was about 25 goals. And then they took care of business 3-0 versus Pampa, setting up a very, very interesting matchup versus Argyle. So I think it's kind of hard to say, because down in the Region 2 area, you have Salina there, and that's also been playing very solid. along with Melissa and Bullard and Henderson down there. But, you know, you look up in the Region 1 regional semifinals, you have Stephenville, still the defending state champion, mm-hmm. taking on Midlothian Heritage. And then, of course, Sanelli versus Argyle. I think to be able to go through that region, there's a reason why Region 1 tends to do so well, especially on the girls' side for 4A. What are your any particular thoughts on 4A?
Well, the one that caught my eye was Salina. Wow. 43 goals in 3 games. 43-0. And then this is a team that finished runner-up. I don't know how they were not district champs. That's kind of that's a little interesting there that they weren't the district champs for I think District 12, I believe. And I'm trying to see who won that district, which was actually Maybank, who lost in the first round to Anna.
I was about to say who's not even in the tournament anymore.
Yeah, he's no longer in the tournament. So. I don't know. Salina must have turned it on, but they're gonna have a tough showdown with Bullard. I don't know. If we're gonna see another 10-plus games. I don't know if it's ever if any team in high school playoff history has scored these amount of goals in 3 straight playoff games. I don't know if that's in the record books, but I'm sure Bullard's kind of like a little nervous about, you know. The firepower that Salina has, right. Sanelli with Argyle. That's another good game. I think that's props to the Sanelli girls. I think they can, if they just play their game and do what they need to do, I think they can shock some people. Looking at Region 3, Bay City. No one's talking about Bay City. They're running it through. They won District 24. So they're slowly creeping up there. They got a showdown with another newcomer, a new school, Lake Belton. No one's talked about them either. So two new kind of newcomers, you know, kind of new powerhouses for soccer are going to match up this coming week. And then we have another showdown trying to get the other one. Salado girls have done really well. They've made some deep runs. I know a few years ago they did one in the Region 4. Now they're all moved over to the Region 3. I think they're playing hard in Jefferson. I think they should take care of business on that. And then, like I said, on the 4A side, we got some interesting matchups coming up. I think the surprise there is the Cat Allen girls. Dropping from 5A to 4A mm-hmm. might have helped the program a bit.
Right.
To compete against numbers, but they got a really big game coming up with Burning, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great, you hit on Bay City as well, and Cal Allen kind of getting kind of some eye openers there. So for sure. So, all right, Coach. So next, moving along, a little bit of region, we'll probably go more Region 4. I know usually we have a little area, a little section here where we do Region 1, Region 4 talk. I've already gotten in a good bit of Region 1 talk in terms of Sanelli girls, Del Valle boys, East Lake boys, El Paso East Lake boys here. So, and those are kind of 4A, 5A, 6A. But so let's do a little bit more Region 4 talk. Kind of what are your additional thoughts beyond what we've already hit on, kind of coming out of Region 4 across all the classifications?
Well, for the boys' side, like I said, for 6A, we got two matchups coming up. Lake Travis was one of the favorites. And then we have a little upstart team that's even some coaches, I heard some chatter at the game, they're still in disbelief, which is the Harlan Hawks. And they had a great win over there, going down to Laredo to knock off United High School in their backyard. That says something there. And if I'm Lake Travis, I wouldn't take them lightly. And I know that game is going to be played Tuesday night at New Braunfels Canyon. It's going to be a good game. It's not going to be a cakewalk for Lake Travis. I think they'd better be ready to to play. I think even one of the players from Harlan, Oscar Valencia, was featured on ESPN for the top for the top 10 for his little 40-yard Roberto Carlos style goal.
Sign him up.
Did a Harlingen South. Yeah, Real Madrid's looking. Hey, sign him up because we need a free kicker.
Yeah, that to me, I think right now that's got to be, forget about the goal of the tournament. That's got to be the goal of the year in high school that I've seen so far. Because that was, and if you haven't had a chance to see it, I know that was posted by, I believe their handle is at Harlan Hawks, I think it is.
I think so.
Their boys soccer on Twitter. Oscar Valencia has a, just like Coach mentioned, a 40-yard screamer. That's upper 90. I mean, it's a frozen rope. Kind of, you know, I think I mentioned on there, it reminded me of a young Hector Cano, you know. But yeah, I think, yeah, I think that it was an unbelievable goal for sure. You know, for me, you know, you talk about Region 4, obviously a lot of the eyes, particularly on the, talking about the boys' side with in 6A. That is, but you know, on on the girls' side, you know, I think for me, kind of a bit of an eye opener. It was the Lake Travis, big supporters of the 50/50 podcast, the Lake Travis women's soccer program going down to Round Rock, and kind of had a very, you know, from people that I've spoken to, had a very, very, very intense kind of a slugfest. Had a regional final feel to it, mm-hmm. which we are going to see, which you usually do end up kind of seeing in some regional quarterfinal matchups. You know, perfect example was the Lee Clemens game, 6A boys soccer match that you were that I know you got to see. A lot of people were at, obviously. I got to see on their live stream on YouTube as well. Yeah, I think, you know, you still have, you know, it's an interesting matchup there because now and then you have, so Round Rock now advances to play Los Fresnos, and then you have on the other half of that that bracket there, you have Vandegrift facing Brennan. You know, Brennan's just kind of slowly plugging along, and now they get Vandegrift, kind of their first real true challenge of the tournament on the girls' side. What's your thoughts on that?
Brennan's got to play a perfect game against Vandegrift. I think one thing I learned from that Vandegrift game against Reagan, Vandegrift plays very physical. They have great speed. They have great touch to the ball. They have one girl that little short forward, but man, she packs a mean shot. And she got two of them by the Reagan goalie. And I don't think – I think they kind of estimated her on the field. She was getting by them, giving them – running circles around them the whole night. But like I said, Brennan, you know, I think if they can play a lot better game, I think with – you know, I was kind of disappointed with the way Reagan played. I think they kind of were intimidated by, you know, the physical play. It's just, one thing I always like to tell my players that, you know, you got to learn how to chicken fight. And when the roosters fight, you got to stand up and take the hits. I think Brennan can withstand some hits and play discipline in the back. And then, you know, kind of, you know, I think one thing with the key is if you can get good counterattacks on Vandegrift, you can win the game. So I know Vandegrift's probably out of the four teams are probably going to maybe the favorite going in. You know, even though I know Round Rock won the district, right. Vandegrift's been playing, you know, they've really raised their bar. But like I said, Brennan needs to, like I said, I think they can compete with them. But I think in the end, you know, I think Vandegrift should take care of business. As far as the other game, I just don't see Los Fresnos putting much a fight against Round Rock. I saw one of the Los Fresnos games on a live stream, and compared to the pedigree at Round Rock, this could become a rout. You know, not a disrespect on that. It's just, you know, watching the kind of the level of play, and then also, you know, District 25 is a lot tougher district than District 32 for girls soccer. And Like I said, and then to knock off Lake Travis, that's, I mean, that's a state, that's basically close to like a state championship level type of game.
Right.
You know, so I'm going to give the edge to Round Rock, but, you know, going into, hopefully, I guess when they, if they go into a final, you know, I know they're runner ups to Round Rock. I'm going to give the edge a little bit to Vandergrift because I think they're picking at the right time. And I think they can knock off Round Rock in the regional final.
Nice. Yeah. You know, 4A talk, you know, shifting to 5A. I think for me, when I look at the brackets, and obviously there's a lot of good matchups, you know, you have, you know, but I think the ones that really kind of really get my attention are the ones in region four, both on the girls side and the boys side, you know, cause you're, you know, we look at the girls, you look at Cedar Park, that's a team that's, pretty that's proven themselves battle tested already. You know, they're coming off of a very good match, a very good showing versus a very good, a very young, but still very talented, Bernie champion squad. And, you know, and that's a Bernie champion squad that's also battle tested coming out of the, you know, the district that they play in. So that says something. And they get, you know, McAllen. I know you've been touting McAllen quite a bit, the McAllen girls. They're, you know, they haven't really played a whole lot out of the Valley this year, but I think if I'm not mistaken, I believe they're, that's another undefeated squad. So you got Cedar Park and McAllen next round. And then the other half of that semifinal, you have Dripping Springs, which I know everybody has eyes on versus another good squad in Gregory Portland. So that's, I mean, that's a dynamite semifinal there. What are your thoughts on that?
Cedar Park, if I'm Cedar Park, don't fall asleep with McAllen. I think a few years ago when I think when the McAllen girls made the state tournament under, in 6A, we had two, I think Austin, I think one Austin area, one San Antonio area team fall asleep on them, and then made them pay.
Yeah,
that's going to be a great game. I'm not sure of the details where they're playing that game, but I'm going to give the edge to McAllen. Even though Cedar Park's won some big games, but I think McAllen, they're doing, you know, they took care of business with Corpus Christi Veterans Memorial, and they took care of Victoria. And like I said, I think they're doing a great job down there with that program. That program's really turned around. It's now starting to become, you know, getting close to a state, becoming a state caliber team in year in and year out. The other interesting matchup is going to be Dripping Springs and Gregory Portland. Gregory Portland hasn't lost a game yet.
I don't think so.
But this is going to be their first test, and this is an interesting game. But I'm going to give the edge to Dripping Springs. I think Dripping Springs will get by this, and then I guess for the final, we could see a McAllen, maybe McAllen Dripping Springs final. That's going to be a classic. I still think Dripping Springs is probably the, as far as the four teams, I think they're the ones that are probably going to end up going into the state final four.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, on the boys side, you know, we look at region four there and, you know, it's interesting because you have, you know, for, I know on Twitter, I know San Antonio Soccer Roundtable was putting out these different polls, right? As far as who comes out, who wins the regional semifinals. This was one of that region four boy 5A boys was the one that I could not answer. I really could not. You know, you have San Antonio Southwest taking on Valley View, and then Dripping Springs on taking on Brownsville Porter. And I was kind of scratching my head, like I could see a couple of different scenarios in here. And then you also have probably the hottest. The hottest team in the entire state, regardless of classification, in San Antonio Southwest in this group, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. I was scratching my head. I really couldn't come up with an answer in this group. What are your thoughts?
I think any of the four teams could win this region. I know the polls. I know there's some have been voting for Southwest.
This is the group of death, right?
This is all four teams is the group of death, and Southwest has, like I said, they'll be reminded what happened a couple years ago with Valley View, that 7-0 drubbing. is that in their back of their mind? Can they overcome that? Because, like I said, Valley View beat a quality Brownsville Veterans Memorial team, who was another one of the could have been a favorite too. You know, if Southwest can beat Valley View, then that looks good. That's a good confidence booster. Yeah. On the bottom side, we have Dripping Springs and Brownsville Porter. I know Dripping Springs got they survived a game against Leander. They were down 2-0, but they roared back and won that game. But they're not going to be able to do that against Brownsville Porter if they're down 2-0. Brownsville Porter has the history. They got the state titles in the past. They put 7 goals on Sherryland. So that's to tell you that's another quality team,
yeah.
You know, out of the valley. So I'm gonna this game. I smell upset. I think Porter's gonna knock off Dripping Springs on this game. So and then I think still to me, I think Valley View still has the edge. So we could end up seeing an all valley, 5A boys region 4 championship.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But like I said, Southwest could. Like I said, if they can get that little reminder from a few years ago, like I said, all the games are going to be, like I said, are all competitive. So, but yeah. I think, like I said, I could, for me, I think it's going to end up being an all-valley Final Four.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, so we've talked about a little bit and we kind of hinted on it a little bit. And one last thing kind of before we start to look ahead at the regional semis and the regional final round, I kind of wanted to come back to a little bit on what you were discussing on your take, kind of particularly on the girls' side, I think, if I heard you correctly, but maybe on the boys' side as well. But this maybe what you think is a bit of a what you think has been a separation kind of in talking San Antonio and Austin, kind of can you expand on that a little bit as far as the programs between those two cities that are obviously very close to each other?
Yeah, what I've seen, I guess minus the 4A girls, because I think the 4A girls has been dominated by the San Antonio area teams. Like I said, like the Bernie girls and, I think who's the I think we have another team coming up. Oh, hold on. I'm trying to look at my brackets real quick. And the Wimberley area, like I said.
Yeah, Wimberley. Yeah, you know, Wimberley. Yeah.
Wimberley. But when you look at 6A and 5A girls, it's being dominated by the Austin area high school teams. And that's a question I brought up. I know with Harry and Royce last week about, you know, has the gap, you know, of the level of play widened? You know, has Austin already overtaken? It seems like Austin's have overtaken San Antonio.
Right.
You know, so to me, it said, is that going to, you know, how's that going to change in the future? We'll see. You know, it could also be maybe because there's more schools in San Antonio than in Austin. Does that saturate a lot of the talent and so forth? You know, those are big, you know, also, you know, big reasons why. So maybe some teams are not as strong as others because of the, you know, school population wise. But
right.
I do see, like I said, I do see like a gap right now in between Austin and San Antonio girls soccer.
Right. Yeah. And make no mistake about it. I don't think, you know, in what, at least my interpretation, but my belief also is it's not that there is this lack of talent in that greater San Antonio area, because that's not the case at all. But yeah, I think it's more of a question of what's kind of happening here, right? What's going on in terms of how come recently and in many ways, I know I've mentioned this before, is that El Paso kind of mirrors San Antonio in terms of the success that El Paso has had at the state level has been on the boys' side, right? 4A and 5A. I think this is kind of an Eastlake. If Eastlake can continue to go along, they might finally be that 6A that breaks through on the boys' side. But just like San Antonio, El Paso's struggles have really been on the girls' side, a team that can break through beyond, you know, the area or regional quarterfinal round. And you have Sanelli here at the 4A level. That's proven that, right? They're kind of great, and that's a squad that's been gradually getting better, right? Gradually getting better over the last couple of years. So yeah, I think, you know, if there's going to be an initial breakthrough, I could see it there happening at the 4A level, with hopefully maybe with Sanelli. But yeah, very similar where, and of course, region one is a little different because all roads lead to the Metroplex, to DFW, right? But yeah, I can definitely see what you're talking about there when you're kind of the question comes up of Austin and San Antonio, right? Like, what's going on there?
I think also last to do is maybe, I know some of the players, you know, do play in the high caliber, the ECNL level or the state, you know, state or the state SCL level, the state classic level. You know, there might be a big, more competitive teams. I guess that we're looking at Austin, San Antonio. There might be more in the Austin area compared to what we have here, like here in San Antonio. So that could be like a big influence on there as far as where those players are playing at. You know, you may have some group of players that are playing together from the same high school playing with the same club, because usually sometimes that happens because of the area where they live at. Where they'll be, you know, with the whoever's the closest club team there, you know, for that, right, for that area. Unless some, you know, you do have some that do travel out. And, you know, I know, like, well, I heard one about, like, the Ovalde girls. They had a couple other players come all the way to San Antonio to play club for surf, you know. So you do have some, you know, players like that. I think that's also a big influence as far as with the gap. And I think, with Region 1, with the El Paso, Dallas, I know the boys' side, I think they're at that level or about to overpass the Dallas boys because it's all become a little oversaturated over there. But I think the girls' side, I think they're coming along. Like I said, you still have great programs, like I said, besides St. L.A. I mean, Franklin's an up-and-coming team. I think they're going to break through in the future, you know, and maybe get into a state tournament. And like I said, we have other ones, too, out there in your area.
Yeah, yeah, it's an interesting dynamic for sure. So, all right, Coach, so moving along. So now we're going to look ahead, and we've discussed it a little bit already. So, you know, kind of looking ahead at the regional semis and what might be the regional finals. What, you know, if you can kind of look at what's a big, you know, in each classification, or just maybe one or two on the boys' side, one or two on the girls' side. What's a big regional semifinal matchup that you have your eye on? Like maybe your top two, and then on the boys' or girls' side, and then what you think is going to project to a really good regional final.
I think the one that intrigues me is actually in Region 1, and that's going back with the East Lake boys. They got Dallas Jesuit, and I think Dallas Jesuit's they've won a state title since crossing over from Taps into UIL.
Right.
That's going to be they're going to play a team that's won a state title. Can they continue on of what they've done the last few games? I think if they get by this game, if they win this game, I think you're start getting your tickets ready to hopefully go to Georgetown, you know, because, nice. You know, they're, like I said, that's one game to look at. I think also another game to look at is that Southwest Valley View game. can Southwest get the monkey off the back and knock off Valley View after what happened to them a few years ago?
And that's 5A, 5A boys that you're talking about, 5A right?
Boys, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's 5A boys. So that's an interesting matchup. And then for the girls' side, I know there's some really good matchups in the Metroplex area. Now that Prosper's out, who was going to be the favorite? You know, can Eaton continue on and knock off that Flower Mound team? I'm sure, right. Flower Mounds, they're flying high, knocking off Prosper. But Eaton took care of business with Salt Lake Herald. And I think if Eaton can knock off, get another quality win, like I said, they could No, they can end up representing the, like I said, the 6A girls there for Region 1. We have other ones. I'm checking to see. The one that really intrigues me is that the 4A girls, Bernie versus Cal Allen. That's an intriguing game. Bernie's got the history. They've won, like I said, they've been to state tournaments in the past. This is uncharted waters for the Cal Allen girls.
Yeah.
And can they knock off Callum? I mean, knock off Bernie. We shall see, but it's going to be a very good game. It's going to be a tight game. I do give an edge, like I said, to Bernie, but that's another game that's caught my eye, especially down on the 4A level.
Yeah, I think for me, if there's kind of one, because I know I've already hit on some of the ones that I'm kind of looking at, but you know, I think if you look at 4A boys, the one that I'm kind of really looking forward to, that if both teams kind of projected take care of business, you have in region 4A boys, Taylor versus Hidalgo and Bernie versus London. I think we're collectively we're projecting. I know you were very big on Hidalgo and and Bernie as well. I think Bernie's kind of been the class of Region 4 for sure. You could argue the states at 4A boys, but I think that is going to be a dynamite matchup. Even if Taylor can get there, obviously, but I think in terms of styles of play, if you end up with Hidalgo and Bernie there for a regional final 4A boys, that's going to be, I think that sets up for a classic, an absolute regional final classic, that I'm looking for, I'd be looking forward to. And then, the same thing you can kind of make the argument in terms of projections for, on the 4A girls side in region 4, where if Wimberley came off a very tough match against a Fredericksburg team that's been, just getting better year after year, close friend of mine, good friend of mine, Coach Minshew, Logan Minshew out at Fredericksburg. I mentioned this on Twitter yesterday. He's done tremendous things with that program. We used to play in their tournament. They have a great tournament out there, the Fredericksburg Hill Country Winter Classic, that's been going on now for about, I want to say, 5 or 6 years. And where that program was, in terms of, I know when he started to where they are now, so I think that's a squad to look, even though they came up short yesterday versus Wimberley, that's a squad to look out for in the future. That's a program that's going to continue to get better. And, needless to say, Wimberley advanced, they're taking on London, Corpus Christi, London, and then you have Bernie and you mentioned it, Cal Allen, right? But I think kind of all roads will lead to ultimately Wimberley versus Bernie. And those are two teams that are very familiar with each other, very familiar with each other. So also sets up for probably what should be a regional final classic. So, yeah, I mean, 4A, a lot of people kind of like to, thumb their nose, whatever you want to call it, look the other way when it comes to the lower classification. But I think it's some great stuff, especially at this point. So, yeah. I think those are some great matchups as well, Coach. All right, so now your biggest, we look at maybe your top in 4A, 5A, 6A on the boys' side, on the girls' side, your dark horses or Cinderellas, your biggest surprises, who's either, you can identify one or the other as far as, hey, keep your eye. Maybe they're not quite a Cinderella, but this team – this team is going to still go on and maybe do some more damage. Or of course your Cinderella, who do you have as your picks for either, or your dark horse or your Cinderella that could still be successful this next coming week in the semifinals and the regional final?
One of the dark horses, I think, for 4A boys comes from region 1, the Diamond Hill Jarvis team. And that team has, they've knocked off some quality teams. They got a big matchup with Stephenville. That's going to be interesting. That's going to be a very interesting game. Normally you don't think, Fort Worth ISD being a powerhouse in boys soccer, but they've pulled through, so there are one of our dark horses that come out of there. Another dark horse, you know, could be, like I said, Mineral Wells. No one's talking about them. Region 2, you got to look at Palestine. I think Palestine has been, they've made it to a state. I know they got one title, but they lost two heartbreakers, one to San Eli and one to Progreso. I think they've learned from those, you know, from those games that sometimes you do need to play tougher competition to get you ready for the big game. So I think they got something to prove. I know they got another tough matchup coming up, but I think I said kind of look out for them. I think no one's really talking too much about them out of region 2, and I think they should take care of business there and get to the state final 4.
Yeah, it's a very quality. That's a quality program, you know, Palestine. Or Palestine, I think, as they say it, mm-hmm. as they pronounce it. And you mentioned Stephenville, who Diamond Hill Jarvis has next, but that's also going to be a Stephenville squad that's coming off of they're coming off of a game where, you know, they're not lucky, but I know they're kind of thanking, you know, they're thanking the soccer gods that they got through that, you know, that Sanelli game. That was a game where, you know, they were up 2-0, lost the lead, then took the lead 3-2, and then lost the lead with like 15 seconds left. And then went into extra time, you know, double overtime, and went to the final penalty kick before they were able to pull it out. So how much energy, how much emotion did they expend off of a game like that? And you kind of have a Diamond Hill Jarvis squad that's just moving along, just plugging away. So yeah, that'll make for a very good matchup. I think, so who else? I know you hit 4A, but what else you got in terms of any other dark horses or Cinderellas that you kind of want to hit on that you could see having success this next week?
I think for maybe for 5A boys is the Foster boys. The Foster boys they've gone through some pretty tough games. They knocked off a really good Sharpstown team in PKs. Now they play with one of the probably a state recognized team, which is the Kingwood Mustangs. That's going to be a great game. And if Foster can win that game, I think they have a legitimate shot getting into, you know, winning the region and going into, you know. But then, yeah, looking at the bottom, you have Flickerville Hendrickson. No one's talking about them. They've kind of done the same thing like Foster. They got a big game with another Houston area powerhouse, which is Friendswood and Kingwood. You know, those are two, you know, quality programs have won state titles, have been to the state tournament. And then you got two unknowns are ready to take the, I guess, quote unquote, the throne for region 3. And, you know, I could see a Hendrickson versus Foster final.
Yeah.
You know, that's a possibility. It's kind of similar to what region 4. You have four quality teams that anyone can end up winning the region. So, you gotta have to look out for Hendrickson. You gotta look out for Foster for 5A boys from region.
Yeah, over there, Hendrickson. Region 3. I'm sorry, excuse me. Hendrickson is like, I don't know if they're the, I don't know what to call them. Do you call them a dark horse or do you call them a Cinderella, or are they? I don't know. Are they a dark Cinderella? Maybe, because they're just, I mean, that's a squad that's, I view them as they're kind of playing with house money at this point. You know, they're. I was reading, there was a great article out there by Varsity News earlier today on them that, you know, this, they're in it right now. This is their most successful season in program history, you know? So they're kind of already riding that wave of just like, wow, we've never been here before. And this is their, you know, they're kind of breaking mm-hmm. new ground and turning heads. So yeah, that's making for a very good story, very cool story there. So, all right. Anyone else, whether you look at 5A boy or 5A girls, sorry, or on the 6A side, coach?
Well, 5A girls, Just kind of looking around the, which, you know, some like the matchups. Well, we also have the Foster girls too. they've kind of done what the boys have done. They've matched tick for tack for them. You know, they've beaten some quality teams in the second and third round. Like I said, don't sleep on them. I think they, I'm saying they're a Cinderella, but they're a dark horse. You have A&M Consolidated. No one's talked about the girls from there from A&M Consolidated. And they've had some good programs in the past, but this year I don't think anyone expected, especially finishing in third in their district, that district there where they are, it's a real tough one. They got a tall task. They got the Friendwoods girls, and the Friendwoods girls, they get, like I said, they've also been a state powerhouse in 5A soccer for the last, you know, last 10 years. You know, if they could knock them off, what a notch on your record to knock off a state quality team. So that's going to be an interesting game. And then I guess the dark horse also for, I guess, 5A girls is McAllen. I don't, something about McAllen. They, you know, what they did a couple years ago, you know, they've maintained that level, even though they dropped down to 5A, which I think that maybe that was, you know, I think that was also a benefit to really kind of stay at that level. I think they're going to knock off Cedar Park. And then I think, you know, could they knock off Dripping Springs? I think they have the players to do so. So that's, like I said, they're kind of my Cinderella team, dark horse-ish, from, you know, for 5A girls.
Yeah. Yeah. They're, you kind of get the feeling, well, I get the feeling at least, that if McAllen can figure it out versus Cedar Park, that they could be in line for big things, you know? So yeah, but also, like I said, that's also a Cedar Park squad that's, they've played well, you know, they've played very well. And, you know, they've beaten Alamo Heights. They've beaten now, you know, Bernie Champion, good, you know, good friend of mine. Shout out to, you know, Coach Carol Walters out there at Bernie Champion. She's a 50-50 podcast alum. And, you know, and I know, so I know the quality of that program in Bernie Champion and for Cedar Park to, you know, to be able to, you know, come out victorious in that one. That's kind of saying something as well. So they're playing very well. That Cedar Park squad is playing very well. A lot of confidence right now. So, good. Awesome. Anyone else on 6A, on the 6A side, coach?
6A. I can say, I guess for region 3, I'm just kind of strolling through there. You know, one team that kind of catches my eye for girls 6A is Beaumont Westbrook. You know, Beaumont's not really a hubbub for soccer or really known for soccer. I know maybe for a little bit for football, but if you look what the Westbrook team has done, they've beaten two district champs. They've beaten Pearland and they've beaten Clear Lake. You know, you don't know by the skin of their teeth, but they've got the job done, and now they got another test with Cypher. And like I said, Cypher, that's another Cinderella. They knocked off Katie Seven Lakes, who was probably the favorite to win the 6A Region 3 girls.
Right.
So that's a good inch. Like I said, we had two Cinderella teams in a regional semifinal matchup. I think the winner of those games will play, I think Houston Memorial and Clear Creek.
Yeah.
So I know, like I said, Memorial's probably be the favorite, but like I said, don't count out either Cypher or Beaumont Westbrook. You know, they could see, like I said, probably see them in the final and maybe advance on. So those are my surprises for that region for girls. Awesome.
Good deal. Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't, you can make an argument for any number of teams. So yeah, that's well said. All right. And then, so, you know, one matchup, coach, as we kind of start to, we transition here, we start to wrap up, this again, our episode 2 of Inside Texas High School Soccer. As we look forward to this week, you know, Tuesday, maybe there's some on Monday. I haven't seen anything actually announced for Monday as far as regional semifinal. Have you?
Not that I've seen. I'm trying to see which games will be.
I hadn't seen anything, but I know why you're looking.
I'm sure
looking
they're going to post. Yeah, most of them, I think they're going to be posted probably by tomorrow.
Right.
I think there was like a few games left, so they were probably waiting. So I think most of them are probably. I have a feeling most of these games are probably going to be on Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, so we're talking about that quick turnaround there between Tuesday and then Friday, and sometimes, and we talked about it earlier, you and I offline. That sometimes what you end up getting is you get this interesting dynamic in certain regions where the regional quarterfinal ends up kind of being a better matchup, kind of more of a slugfest than the regional semifinal does. And then of course the regional final is the regional final. It's a very tough, you know, very tough competitive matchup. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic how that happens sometimes. And usually sometimes you'll see, you know, a Cinderella gets in there, they get a couple of, you know, surprise wins, and then they kind of run out of steam, right? They run out of gas or what have you. So, so we talk about now your top three matchups, coach. We're not going to really look to the regional final at this point, you know, because that can take you down a number of, you know, you can kind of go down the rabbit hole that way. But for Tuesday, you know, for we're going to look at, first and foremost, we're going to look at Tuesday. What is your top three matchups that you kind of want to highlight on the boys' side, all classifications, and then on the girls' side, all classifications? What would you say are your top three?
I think my top three would be,
like the three that you would pay, you'd pay $100 to watch each of these games on the girls' side and on the boys' side.
Well, for the boys' side, I'm interested in this, the Frisco boys versus Longview, Dallas versus Little East Texas. You know, that's a real interesting. Like, I'd pay money to see that game. I know, Frisco's been a powerhouse in the past for soccer. I know lately it's been Wakeland, but Frisco's made a run, and so it has Longview, and I think that'd be a very interesting game for. On the boys' side is one of my top games to watch. Another
and that's
one
5A, for our listeners, that's 5A boys region two. I believe, right? Region two, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then another one for me for 5A actually would be the looking at my brackets really quick, so the time. But well, another one here in my backyard, Southwest versus Valley View. I'm gonna pay money to see that one. I want to see if Southwest can respond to this game.
Yeah.
Can you take that next step? You're great, but can you be elite? Like I said, and I see Valley View, and I see Porter as an elite program because they've made it. They've won a state title, or they've made it to a state final. Mm-hmm.
And that one is that Southwest Valley View match is slated for Tuesday evening. Where again?
Is that at they haven't said the details of it yet. Well, not that I know of, unless I haven't seen anything posted yet.
I thought you had seen details on that one.
Hopefully I can, if I can find that, I'll make sure I post that on our website there on the round table on Twitter. But I'd pay to see that game. Like I said, you know, Southwest, they've won all those games. You're great, but can you be elite? And this is a game that could change your program and be considered one of the elite ones in the state.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What else you got, coach?
I think for girls, the interesting matchup would be, you know, looking around, see would be It's that Stephenville Midlothian game. Region 1 4A. I think Midlothian Heritage. That's a state caliber level game right there. And Midlothian Heritage, I think they've made deep runs. You know, Stephenville, like I said, they got the state title. Can they get to another state title? So this, like I said, this is probably one of the games I pay to see, you know, who's going to break through. And I think maybe out of this could be the one that's going to end up winning the state championship.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, for me, when I look at it, a couple of ones, it's almost a toss-up, I think, for very different reasons. On the 6A, you know, I look at 6A boys, and, you know, one of the games that you spoke to earlier, that El Paso East Lake Dallas Jesuit matchup, very intriguing. A lot of storylines, not a lot of history there between, obviously, the both of them, but there's definitely some history, particularly the Dallas Jesuit having the pedigree. And, you know, and then the other one, I think you hit on it a little bit earlier, but that 6A boys again, Lake Travis and Harlan. You know, what is Harlan? You know, does Harlan challenge Lake Travis? You know, that's also been a very, very stingy Lake Travis defense, you know, very organized. Does Harlan show up and take it, you know, surprise Lake Travis? Or is it kind of predestined, predetermined, preordained kind of San Antonio Lee and Lake Travis in that regional final? So, you know, that's, for me, that's kind of between kind of region one and region four and 6A. That's what really kind of gets my attention. And then when you look at, you know, when you look at 5A, I think, for me, it's like, it's a toss up. I think you could argue both in 5A girls and 5A boys, it's these quote unquote, I guess, groups of death, right? In region four for both of them, you know, you have a surging Cedar Park squad, 5A girls taking on a McAllen squad that is undefeated and looks to be very, very strong and underrated. You have Dripping Springs that is kind of touted to seriously make a run at state, taking on another undefeated squad in Gregory Portland. So I guess the two squads that are supposed to be in that group that are supposed to be kind of the minnows, if you will, they're both undefeated. They're both very strong. So, and then of course we hit on the 5A boys, you know, Southwest versus Valley View and Dripping Springs versus Brownsville Porter. I mean, that one, that region four boys, I couldn't pick, you know, I couldn't pick a winner to come out of that group if my life depended on it right now, not with confidence at least, because I could see that, just like you said, I could see that going a number of ways. So very, very interesting, very excited about those matchups. So, all right, Coach. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to wrap up here. It's been great. Great having you on again today. So, you know, for our listeners, thank you, our viewers today. Thank you for joining us. We didn't get any questions. I thought, was hoping we'd get some. DMs were open earlier, but we didn't get anything. So again, for our listeners, this was, Inside Texas High School Soccer episode 2, state playoffs. Proud to be joined here by, coach Drafasi, at Papa Socceritis from the San Antonio Soccer Roundtable. Coach, any final words, any final last plugs, anything? What do you guys got going on this week?
We have a show on Monday night. We're going to do a roundup of the area and regional quarterfinal round, looking into these regional semifinal matchups. And then I think Wednesday we're going to do our regional final show, see who's going to go to the big dance. Even though it's not going to be in one location, they're still going to have to travel, which is another factor. So right. That's going to be interesting, doing a Tuesday night regional state semifinal. That's never heard of before, but that's going to happen this year. So we're going to go into that, and then we're also going to do a little talk about SAFC. Not a good week for them against FC Dallas. We did sign a couple new players. I think they signed a new player from Brazil, so we're gonna probably talk into that, and then other news going in as far as with the USL game, with all the schedule came out finally, so we finally have a schedule out, so we know who our opponents are for the week and so forth.
Right. Awesome. Great stuff. Definitely looking forward to listening to that. And again, so for our listeners, you can find their podcast and their live stream on Twitter, I believe, and Facebook at SATX Soccer. Again, that's at SATX Soccer for the San Antonio Soccer Roundtable. They do a great job along with, my buddies out there, and Harry, who's, you can find him at RAMINCOL, that's short for Ram in Colorado. And then also Royce the Voice, who I don't know if his handle is literally just at Royce the Voice, but got to look his up again. And then I know on occasion you have at Toes Wiggle there, Danielle. So make sure you check them out. They're doing great things. We will be back next week with episode 3 of Inside Texas High School Soccer, our state playoffs edition. This will be episode 3 of our 4-part series, where we'll look at obviously all the results of the regional semifinal and regional final round, and we look forward to the state semifinal and the actual state final, the championship match. It should make, just like you said, I think it's going to be uncharted. It's going to be uncharted territory for everybody, right? Because nobody is used to multiple trips in a week like this with it's traditionally what is a regional tournament, right? So, it'll make for an interesting, very interesting way of see how things play out, who does well, who are the road warriors, as you put it, right? And who handles it better, who handles it better. So for sure, I think we're far from done in terms of surprises, upsets, maybe a couple of more number one seeds falling, because that's just how this year has been. That's just how, coming out of, 2020 with COVID, and obviously we're not through the pandemic yet, but that has kind of proven, we're hoping that all teams can continue to test negative. Nobody succumbs to any issues with COVID-19 as well. So, and then the last thing I kind of just wanted to hit on was the fact that let's not forget that we need to be grateful that we're here, that we've made it to this point, and that we see out the tournament all the way through to the finals and crown six champions across all our classifications. So, Coach, thank you again. Any other final thoughts, final words?
Just looking forward for these great matchups that's coming Tuesday, well, Monday or Tuesday, and we'll see who gets to the Elite Eight, who's a legitimate one that's going to go into the state the state Final Four. So who's a contender, who's not?
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then again, Coach, we can't thank you enough for your analysis and breaking things down with me. And of course, we make it a point to look at all the regions, of course, including Region 2 and Region 3. We bring an additional expertise to Region 1 and Region 4, obviously. But thank you to all our listeners. Thank you to all our supporters. If you didn't get a chance to obviously hear this live, that this will also be coming out later in the week as a podcast episode. So thank you again to all of our listeners, all of our supporters. We appreciate everybody. We couldn't do it without you guys. Best of luck to all the remaining teams, and congratulations to all of our teams, all of our schools that bowed out over the last couple of rounds that were eliminated. Congratulations on what was obviously a very, very tough season, a season like no other for everybody. So thank you again, everybody. So until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.